This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you with the assistance of Corey Earlham this evening. My next guest is the Acting Victorian Commissioner for Equal Opportunities and Human Rights. And in conjunction with Hockey Australia, they have developed something called Fair Go Sport. Now, as part of the, I hate to say demands, but as part of the things that we were interested in during the Rainbow Flags over the Margaret Court Arena protest, was in trying to persuade Tennis Australia to give Karen a ring and say, we want to join up to this program. So I thought it'd be a very good idea to get Karen here in the studio and tell us what it's all about. What is Fair Go Sport, Karen?
Thanks, Doug, for the opportunity to talk about Fair Go Sport. Fair Go Sport is a project, a partnership between the Victorian Human Rights Commission, as you said, the Australian Sports Commission, Hockey Victoria and Hockey Australia, about creating safe spaces in sport, and specifically about creating safe spaces for gender identity and sexual diversity in sport. It's a pilot program at the moment, and at the moment we're doing the evaluation of it. It's been specifically funded by the Australian Sports Commission, and we've been, you know, really fortunate to be involved in the project. The way it works, though, is that we work with a number of pilot clubs on the ground with their members, with their committee, with their membership, and their volunteers, everybody who participates in the club, and have a lot of conversations with them about what it would take for that organisation and that club to create a safe space for sexual and gender diversity. So it's very much a grassroots approach to the issue, and it's very much about clubs identifying with themselves where the barriers are to creating a safe environment
with answers to that. Why have you taken that particular approach? Because, I mean, the usual thing is to go top-down, isn't it? The usual thing is that somebody creates a policy. Out of that policy come a set of procedures. They go into a manual, and then the manual sits on a shelf and nobody reads it. Is that the reason why you're coming the other way around?
And I think that's why you've just described why we're coming the other way around.
Yes.
I mean, there's lots of codes in sport.
I used to write manuals.
Haven't read any of them.
not for this kind of thing, but for computer programs.
Yeah. So this program, Fair Go Sport, is very much about conversation. It's actually about relationships. It's about how you generate a safe space within an existing community. It's been incredibly successful. Certainly the people we've seen involved have been very passionate. Mm-hmm. It is a pilot, but certainly it's not something, I guess, that people just tick a box on the website and say we've signed up to Fair Go Sport. There is a lot more involved than that.
Right.
Ms. Toomey, I love the fact that a station like Joy gets the acting Victorian Human Rights Commissioner Swarson down to Bourke Street and jumping into the studio. So thank you for making the time, because many others wouldn't.
It's a pleasure.
What's the legislative basis on which a club has to conform with in relation to this program?
So, not so much with the program, but certainly equal opportunity law, mm-hmm. both at a state and federal level,
yep.
obliges organisations not to discriminate on a whole range of grounds, and that includes organisations that have membership.
Mm-hmm.
It also covers discrimination in the area of sport, so slightly different areas for different mm-hmm. reasons.
Is there exemptions for younger sport participants around, you know, which for, like, I'm thinking for a transgender person, you know, is there a clear-cut message that you can't be discriminated against playing in the sport that you're of the affirmed gender?
Victoria is a little different in that position, because it does cover transgender status, as you pointed out. There are age provisions that exist which say at a certain age, certain sports can exclude people based on their gender.
What's that age in Victoria?
It's 13 in Victoria. Sorry, I didn't bring the act with me.
That's right.
I'll get a phone call from one of my lawyers in a minute. So there are ages at which is why you see in netball
yep.
and in AFL and yep. that you've got combined sports at a junior age, and then as people go through the ranks, they separate out, particularly yep. based on strength and stamina.
So how's this program going to tackle that issue from 13 onwards for a transgender person? Obviously, you're probably going to give some advice that goes beyond what just the legislation says you have to do. What sort of messages are you going to provide for both Hockey Australia and future sports like Tennis Australia that might give you a call next week?
I think the point of this program is there is a legislative framework, and clearly that's the one that we work with. But this really is about clubs identifying those sorts of problems and trying to come up with answers that fit within their club framework.
Just so no one size fits all. It's sort of getting the discussion going and getting to solve it for themselves, really.
And it really, what we've seen with the clubs is that they come up with suggestions around how they say to people without saying to them that this is an inclusive space, and the I guess the rainbow coloured socks have become a bit of a marketing item for us, because what they do, and I'm happy to get you some, Corey, before Sunday. What the clubs have done is come up with visible signs so that people know that there is a conversation, that it is an accepting space. With issues like that, I mean, they're tough issues for anybody, and certainly we see that through complaints that we get, but we see that through all the community engagement that we do. They're difficult issues, and what we're asking people to do is not step away from the issue, not come up with one absolute answer, but engage in the discourse around it, and certainly within the legislative framework that we have.
Now, you've only got Hockey Australia on board at the moment. What kind of success have you had at approaching other sports to join in? I'm not thinking specifically of Tennis Australia, but I mean, have you approached any of the other sporting bodies?
AFL.
The difficulty we have is that these types of projects take a lot of resources. So we were funded to do the project. We're in evaluation at the moment where clearly we've had a lot of interest in the project in a whole range of ways from a whole range of sports. We ran a seminar last week as part of Midsummer, and we had over 60 people turn up. So there's strong interest.
Yeah, unfortunately Tennis Australia couldn't make it because they were too busy running the Open.
And making sure that Martina Navratilova didn't appear in any photos because she had coloured rainbow bands.
I will say that we wrote to all the state sporting associations back in December and asked them to march with us under the Fair Go banner at Pride on Sunday.
With rainbow coloured socks
and anything else in a rainbow colour that they choose, but I probably won't go there. So it is very much about getting the sports to engage with the ideas behind Fair Go Sport, and then it really is up to us to work with those organisations about how we better develop that project with them. Certainly we've had interest. We have some funding for another 6 months or so to look at how to make the project sustainable so that it can be picked up and translated into other sports. It is a huge investment, and I certainly think Hockey Victoria would say it's been a revelation, but it has been a lot of work. But what it does do is, I think, generate a genuine commitment to the issues.
Has there been much resistance within Hockey Australia? I mean, have you encountered pockets of resistance? Have you encountered a pushback on this? Or has it actually gone quite well once people have realised what it's all about and how it works?
Certainly the people that I've engaged with directly have been incredibly enthusiastic about it. I think one of the things that we did see last year would have been the video made by Gus Johnson, which both of you have seen. And the response to that, as Gus reports it, and he was at the seminar we ran last week, has been incredibly positive from everybody that he's engaged with. So I think there is sometimes a genuine sense that people don't understand there is an issue. By making it visible and making it real and personal, it actually allows people to say, actually, we're really supportive of this. Sorry.
No. I think that's really good. And to be honest with you, I'm not that surprised that Hockey Australia came on board. I was more surprised by the Australian Sports Commission coming on board. And I think that's a massive thing because most of our elite athletes that go into Australia will go through there at one point. Can you just talk us through what is it that they're doing with this program and how will they use it past the pilot?
The Australian Sports Commission certainly has been a significant partner in this with us. As I said, we're in the process of evaluating the project, and the project has been interesting in that there's been an evaluator on the project team from day one, so she has been actively involved. And again, she was talking at the seminar last week about her approach to action evaluation, as she calls it, is to be involved all the way through. That's going back to the Australian Sports Commission. Certainly they're interested, and we're still engaging with them around how we make this a sustainable model. Clearly their interest was sufficient to work with us for the last 18 months, and I think they're very committed to the issues.
And you've got international cricket legend Adam Gilchrist involved. You've got Adam Gubbs Brownlow medalist, the rugby league's Petro Chinovetsik. I can't pronounce that surname, sorry. I apologise to you, Petria. Do you intend to have more involved, or is this sort of it until after the evaluation?
It really is. I guess there's two elements to the project at the moment. One is the very, you know, the very sort of intense work with the clubs, like within Hockey Victoria, that we've been working with in the pilot. And then there's the branding issue. So it has taken off. I mean, that, you know, and we're really happy about that. Mm. A couple of the clubs have asked that the socks become part of their uniform for their away games, which means they're generating that conversation.
Yeah.
So it's really spreading.
Yeah. I mean, that was the point of the Rainbow Flags thing, was just to get people talking.
I reckon we should try and find a person who makes models of Margaret Court Arena, and we can give it to the commissioner to wear around her waist on some straps down the Rainbow Flag above it. That could make an interesting statement.
You need to get me a ladder as well, Corey, clearly.
Maybe. I wasn't going to make comment. This is radio. I look beautiful, don't you know?
Yes, you have a great face for radio, Corey.
Thank you, Douglas.
You're more than welcome.
I've got a question for you. About 2 years ago, one Sunday morning, I rolled over, flicked on the TV, and there was Andrew Demetrio on the Insight program announcing that they were updating their vilification policy to include sexual orientation. Do you catch up with Andrew at all? See him sometimes?
I'd have to say I'm probably not the first person he rings every morning.
No,
Could you? We do have some engagement with AFL, certainly around these issues. And again, certainly it's an area that, particularly on the back of Fair Go Sport, now that we have a demonstrable model, is something that we are engaging in these conversations.
Hang on. I just want to say one thing here, because this ties in with what has been happening in AFL, is similar to what you're talking about in hockey, in that the pressure within AFL to do something has come from the players and the Players Association. Mm. It's come from the bottom up. It's not come from the hierarchy. The hierarchy have had to be dragged, kicking and screaming.
Grassroots movements always work, Doug.
You know, but you've got the players, I think, already in your court.
We saw that last year at Idaho, that there were a number of players that turned out, and we're hoping that will happen again this year. I think the other thing clearly was, again, the strong response from the sport after the comments made last year. So certainly we know that it is on AFL's radar. But, you know, again, these are relationships that we're working on.
My quick question, next time he does call you in the morning, could you ask him to update his website? Because 2 years later, I still can't find it with the updated version that includes sexual orientation. And it's no good having a policy if you're not going to actually promote that you've got it. Because I feel kind of a bit cheesed that 2 years later, he got off the Scott Hook saying he's going to do something and won't actually stand by it publicly.
No, and that's a fair call. I think, as you say, public attention on these issues with some of these larger organisations that have a very large fan base is a good way to get them to do something.
Yeah. Talking about your rainbow socks, by the way, I gave a pair of those rainbow socks to Tim Wilson from the
I had coffee with him this afternoon.
Yes, and he actually wore them to the tennis.
Yes, he did.
I have a picture of the socks.
But not the man.
Not the man, just the socks.
I wanted to turn topics to the federal anti-discrimination consolidation bill that just occurred.
Yes.
The submission to the Attorney General's Department closes tomorrow. And there's going to be this... Well, there has been this lovely God versus gay, because they decided to ask a question about religious exemptions just as it pertained to sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, some would say that Victoria probably is second furthest in the most progressive way that they deal with this, Tasmania being the one that has no religious exemptions. What's your take on what will happen here? What sort of impact? Are we going to get more protections with the federal consolidation? Are we going to get less? Is Victoria going to have still the stronger version? You know, what's your reading?
I think the really critical thing with the consolidation is that point is made, that there is a clear message in submissions that this is an issue for a lot of people. Mm. What we would hope is that the protection for sexual orientation, gender identity,
gender expression, status, relationship
is
status,
expanded in the Commonwealth law, because at the moment it only applies to employment, and that is, you know, incredibly limiting compared to other parts of the law.
Yes.
So
we don't have anything currently unless you define it as sex discrimination.
It's actually covered under the ILO provisions, under the Herioka, but it's not enforceable. So it's a very particular area of the law.
Under Fair Work.
Yeah.
And it's all very hard to use by, you know, for people to actually sort of prove discrimination, for people to actually get redress.
It's also a difficult issue for people to bring forward in a complaint. So people really need to get on the front foot around this issue in this process.
Yes.
And I'd like to see
And you need
support.
To be able to initiate cases rather than just pick them up.
Yes.
From other people.
And we need people to bring those issues to us so that we can, you know, through that educative role that we have, actually get out there and talk about it more.
One last thing. Human Rights Law Resource Centre submission saying that if you're going to have exemptions, you should be forced to publicise them and put them on your job applications, I think is a really important point to make too.
Yep. Okay, well, thanks, Karen. Please stay around. You don't have to run away now you've finally found us. up next, you may remember that Beyond Blue, Jeff Kennett, this radio station, and I have had a few run-ins over the years. Now Beyond Blue has a new CEO. We'll meet her next.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.